Okay, I tell you, if you need to tell me something, I'll let you come up here to the podium so you can speak into the microphone, and I can hear you.
Yes.
The following program has adult language and potentially tons and tons of spoilers. Listener, beware.
The Marvel superheroes have arrived. The Avengers, Captain America,
Fantastic Four,
Spider-Man,
Iron Man,
Spider-Woman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Marvel Superhero Podcast. I'm a legal machine. With me is...
The Alley Frank.
Mr. Fix-It.
And today, we're going to talk about the events that unraveled at the San Diego Comic-Con 2016. Right, guys?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
I believe that an enemy is coming from far away. I'm looking for warriors.
Okay, we just watched the trailer for Justice League, starring Ben Affleck and...
other people.
That guy from Game of Thrones, and then that other girl from the Fast and Furious movies. And then that guy who... What has he ever been in?
Burdens of Being a Wallflower.
So nothing.
That was a pretty good flick.
Yeah. Wait, are we talking about the... The Flash. One guy or the Flash guy?
The Flash guy.
The Flash guy is the one who... the Emma Watson movie where she performs in the Rocky Horror Picture Show live cast.
You lost me. Okay, let's talk about the trailer. Initial thoughts. Fix it. Go. All right. Diablo Frank, you go.
It's cute.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it all right.
I thought it looked like shit.
Yeah.
I thought that was... It's.
Go ahead.
I know it's like an advanced Comic-Con trailer, so we're not supposed to expect too much.
It's a sizzle reel.
Okay. Well, what's the difference between a sizzle reel and a teaser?
And a trailer.
That's tricky, yeah.
And okay. A trailer. I'm not going to give any more passes for teasers and trailers and shit.
Okay, well, here's... with a sizzle reel, the whole point is to show you some scenes that they have available to be viewed ahead of time. So, given that this movie hasn't really been filming all that long, I don't think. Maybe in a month or so. And it's going to be one of those long shoots, I'm sure. I thought they had a fairly decent amount of material to tease the movie with.
I thought it just looked really dumb. And it looked really hackish.
It seemed more like they were trying to imitate Marvel.
They're without a question. They're doing that.
I mean, that kind of goes without saying now. Yeah, they're totally jumping on the we just copy Marvel bandwagon. But like Cyborg looks awful.
But it's early CGI.
I know. Don't give me that early CGI bullshit. That looks absolutely horrible, dude. They could at least clean up the CGI for the sizzle reel that's coming to San Diego Comic-Con.
Dude, they have not been filming that long. I don't care because
Batman vs. Superman CGI was freaking garbage. Yes or no?
Yes.
Is the same studio not going to be doing this movie?
Yes.
Okay, I think it's going to look really, really bad.
Well, if we're going to talk about things looking really, really bad, the Flash uniform looks fucking terrible.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
It's armor.
And oh my god, dude, Aquaman is Namor.
Yes, he is Namor.
He is 100% Namor.
In the sense that the Aquaman of the 90s, who he's most clearly emulating, was also Namor, for the most part.
You say so. That dude looks like freaking... He looks like Namor.
Yeah, for him to have that kind of attitude, for him to be up in Alaska hanging out with Eskimos, which was, again, kind of a Submariner thing, that they applied to Aquaman in the 90s, yeah, it's Namor.
Choke lifting Bruce Wayne up and stuff like that?
The only way in which this is Aquaman is that he's in a Justice League movie, and they make the crack about talking to fish.
Talking to fish.
That's it. Otherwise, that's Namor, 100%. And he was the one who got on my nerves the most, too, because they didn't even bother to give him any lines. He just scowls at everybody, and that was
He pulls a Batman.
Yeah, and it is funny, too, how much more laid back Batman is in this one.
Dude, he's cracking jokes.
You know what? I actually was kind of annoyed by him in this.
No, I like Ben Affleck in this. I'm glad that he's loosening up some. My thing, though, is it just bothers me as a Justice League.
Loosening up in the sizzle reel?
You don't see that he's much looser in this than he is versus Batman versus Superman?
Doing more of a...
Well, he didn't want to kill everybody.
I'm Bruce Wayne in this trailer.
You're kind of doing like a Clint Eastwood face.
That's what
right
he's kind of doing. Oh, my face? Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're sort of, yeah, I don't know. I didn't care for his cadence in this trailer.
I didn't care. It looks like it'll be fun. Here's the thing.
It could be fun. I'm not saying it's not going to be fun.
It's not that I don't enjoy the Justice League as a property unto itself. That's not my Justice League for the most part. The only character in that group that I care much about since Aquaman isn't in the movie, and I like Namor okay, but not to the degree I like Aquaman, is Wonder Woman. So, and she's hardly in the trailer.
She's not in the trailer.
And it bothers me, too, that she's not helping to recruit anybody.
Recruit anybody? Or...
Why is she just hanging out and letting Batman doing all the recruiting?
She's the secretary.
Yeah, she's the secretary of the team, exactly. It bugs me because when the Justice League first formed, Superman and Batman were, like, sort of on loan. They weren't on any of the early covers. They weren't major participants in most of the early adventures. So, for me, it should involve these other characters, and they should either be in an adventure already, and that's how they meet, or somebody who's part of those five-member team that started the Justice League should be putting the team together. It being Batman and putting using him as the really center character, it kind of bothers me. Are they supposed to be the outsiders? Because that's the kind of team that a Batman would put together. He wouldn't be going after these super powered characters. That's one of the things they've shown in the DC comics over the years. He's always looking for the team that's more low key, and he's the guy who's going to gather together the oddballs and the people that are off other people's radars. So for him to put the Justice League together just doesn't seem in character.
And for him to just give up his secret identity to the Flash is really
weird.
Yeah,
he's really loose with the whole Wayne thing, isn't he? Yeah. He's not appearing to anybody in as Batman. He's Bruce Wayne to everybody.
Very weird.
But see, in this Murderverse, I don't know if Bruce Wayne even has. I guess he does have a dual identity, or everybody be going, "Hey, aren't you Batman at that gala?"
Well,
Batman versus Superman.
Unfortunately, they can't keep straight whether or not anybody knows who the fuck Batman is or not. Oh, I thought you. I didn't believe you were real, dude. He's been operating for 20 years. Why do people keep pulling this? Oh, I thought he was some sort of legend. Shit. you see Clark Kent googling all these Batman stories on, like, Kip, get your shit straight. Is he a legend?
He's an urban. Apparently, he's getting
reported
in the news.
He's not an urban legend. Yeah. 2016. Come on.
It is a little hard to pull off urban legends these days. But if you can pull off false flags and the global warming conspiracy among scientists, I imagine there might be people out there who don't believe in Batman being active for 20 straight fucking years.
No.
You don't think there would be, like, Batman truthers?
No, because in the last film, Batman vs. Superman, there is a bat vigilante that exists that has been around for 20 years that the cops are like, "Hey, don't shoot at the good guys." What the fuck? What urban legend do the cops say to each other? "Hey, rookie, don't shoot at the good guys." You know what I'm saying? Like, this is stupid. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I don't care about any of those characters but Wonder Woman. She's not hardly in the trailer. The one shot they show of her in action is clearly from Batman vs. Superman. So I'm glad that Ezra Miller is playing he's playing more of a goofy science bro. So he's not so douchey as he looked in Batman vs. Superman. I do wish that he weren't playing Barry Allen, and they've made it clear that he is going to be Barry Allen. So that kind of makes direct competition between the TV and the movie. And I'm sorry, even on a TV budget, that Flash costume looks a lot better on TV than it does on film. Why he's wearing armor, I don't get it. It just looks really bad. But he looks pretty good. He looks like he's in shape. He definitely is the best actor of the group.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the moment when Batman flings the batarang at him, and it's clear that he's thinking about how he wants to react. I like that they actually took the time to let that scene breathe and make it clear that he's making the conscious decision, oh, okay, this is what it's happening. This is what they're needing me for. I'm in. And he can just answer Batman like that. And you've seen that he has deliberated on it. He's not just some dumb, impulsive kid. So I'm glad they let that moment breathe.
Yeah, I like that scene, except for the way that Ben Affleck was talking.
But yeah, and the jokes are much more forced, though. These are not people that are adept with humor. Although, if you ask Paquita, she'll say that a lot of the Marvel movies really force the humor as well.
Only the Joss Whedon ones.
Yeah. I'm just glad that they're going for a different tone, because what they were doing, the Deadly Serious thing, I don't have a problem with Deadly Serious with DC, because DC movies don't have a history of being good with humor. Remember the Superman movies, attempts at humor, the later Batman movies. But going so deadly serious as the most recent movies, I don't think that's helping anything either. The action looked okay. I don't know about the special effects yet.
All right. I was not impressed.
Yeah, you didn't have a lot of elaboration there.
I mean, I still think they did it wrong. They're going backwards. We'll put the team together. Now we're going to do our individual stories afterwards. I just think it just seems really weird.
It is bizarre that they are putting them all in a team movie
doing the Avengers and then let's all do our individual films.
Well, my thing is,
I don't care about these characters. I haven't really got to meet them yet.
Whenever I was thinking about doing a Justice League movie and knowing that they were wanting to make it so that most of the characters are going to be introduced in that context instead of in their own movies, my thinking is you use Starro, because Marvel hasn't done anything like that. No superhero movie, to my recollection, has really done that, where you've got the Starros who are sort of like face huggers from aliens and they're possessing people, and then you have a good excuse for having hero versus hero battles, especially if you make sure that Superman is the first guy who gets caught with a Starro.
Yeah.
And they're all fighting Superman and showing their relative worth, their relative power to Superman's. And that way, since it's the sort of faceless villain with no personality of their own, you could just focus on making sure you know who the heroes are and giving it, like the Chitauri were in the Avengers, but coming at it from a different angle and making it more kind of spooky, more pod people, Invasion of the Body Snatchers kind of feel to it, rather than just a straight up battle versus aliens. I wish they'd gone more that away instead of getting the New God stuff in there so early on, especially by putting these fucking boxes that look mostly like the
Hellraiser boxes.
Hellraiser boxes. But also looking like Tesseracts from the Avengers movies. So that little too close there, especially because they're making a point of showing them through time. They're showing like fucking Vikings, or what was it? Was it medieval people or Vikings? Or burying
Vikings.
Yeah. So it's like almost of all things Vikings, like Thor is a Viking. Really, guys? Come on. And they did the whole thing too, where Odin had the Tesseract, and it was a Norse crypt that the Red Skull was breaking open to get at it in the first place. It's like, guys, think about this stuff. But maybe they're trying to make people think that they're all in one universe. Maybe it's like, maybe they're trying to make people think it's they're Marvel.
They're probably originally like, well, no, we can't do that because Marvel's doing it. And now they're like, well, shit, if people get confused, that can only help us, right?
At this point, yeah.
they'll buy our movie by accident.
Yeah, they're like a big budget Asylum.
Etta Candy. I'm Steve Trevor's secretary.
What is a secretary?
I go where he tells me to go and I do what he tells me to do.
Yeah, well, where I'm from, that's called slavery.
I really like her.
Okay, so next up is Wonder Woman. What did you guys think?
It was better than JLA, I thought.
I thought it was okay.
Well, that's a movie that's actually finished, so they've got a lot more to work with.
Yeah, I'm still, these are my concerns about this film. One, I don't know if she can act. Still, I'm very, very, very scared.
After seeing the Ultimate Edition, I'm not confident this woman can act. And I was worried about that because I saw the Fast and Furious movies. She couldn't act in those either.
Yeah, but it looks like it's going to be a Steve Trevor buddy movie. Is that guy's name Chris Pine?
Yeah, yes.
Chris Pine.
I always want to call him Pike, but it's Pine, right?
Right, because he teamed up with Christopher Pike from Star Trek. But he plays Kirk.
Jesus. I should call him broke-ass Matt Damon, because that's what he's called. Broke-ass Matt Damon.
Yeah, actually, if there's anybody I confuse him with, it's Zac Efron. I sometimes will confuse those two. They have kind of similar builds.
Freaking blank slate white actors. It's just the same guy over and over again. But he's all right. I just don't know if they're going to have that. If they can have some chemistry on screen, I think it'll help the movie be good. The effects there were not... The her fighting slow motion scenes were really terrible looking.
I thought they were fine.
I thought the lasso... looked really
the
bad.
The lasso looks terrible.
Well, what's funny is I saw the Adrienne Palicki TV veiled pilot, which didn't even have finished effects. And what's funny is they did the exact same thing with a bright day glow CGI lasso. It didn't look great there. It's a little funky here as well.
It's kind of going to look... I kind of like the contrast in all the...
Yeah, because everything's so grim.
World War One, and then you got this bright glowing lasso, and that's kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, there's...
I'm happy she actually uses it. I mean, that's her trademark. And I know why they've got the sword and the shield. It's because it's more toriadic.
Yeah.
They're all concerned about the action figures and stuff. It looks better on a t-shirt to wield a sword and a shield than it does to whip around a lasso. I think that Wonder Woman was given the lasso in the first place because back in the 1940s, cowboys were big and cowgirls had lassos. It just made sense. But it bothers me too because I hear people cheering on, oh, she looks really kick-ass. She looks like she's really going to kick-ass. That's great. That's what we need from Wonder Woman is a kick-ass Wonder Woman. And it's like, we've had kick-ass women on screen since Ripley. Yeah, but even before that, we had, you know, Ripley made a lot of money across multiple Alien movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Sarah Connor, Celine from the Underworld movies, Alice from the Resident Evil movies. People are perfectly fine with kick-ass women. There have been whole franchises based around it. Yeah, it's great that Wonder Woman kicks ass, and I know that that's part of the sales tool. They've proven that the kick-ass women will make movie sales. But Wonder Woman isn't about kicking ass. She's an ambassador of peace. She's someone who fights to bring peace. So when she's running around slashing people with a sword and using a shield entirely too much like Captain America uses a shield.
I felt that too.
And yeah, it is.
Yeah, don't forget the bracelets.
Yes, she has fucking bracelets. Use the fucking bracelets. And also,
that is her thing. Yeah. That is 100% her thing.
And it goes back to at least the TV show, but people remember it from the cartoon as well. I mean, that was such an iconic aspect of that character. So when she never once in the fucking trailer uses the bracelets to deflect bullets, it's all about the sword and the shield. It's like, well, what the fuck? Why do you even bother with being a Wonder Woman movie then? Oh, right, because they need to sell goddamn action figures.
Yeah.
They're really preoccupied with violence in that trailer, and that's not what that character is about. I understand you have to make certain compromises to get a Wonder Woman movie made, but at the same time, they made those compromises with Superman, and people fucking hate those Superman movies. So maybe you should think about what's important to the character and make sure that you're serving the character correctly. In terms of acting, I don't think you need a good actor to play a superhero, honestly. You look back at the history of movies and adaptations. George Reeves was not a great actor. Adam West, Burt Ward, Linda Carter, Christopher Reeve. And I know I'm
getting you... That's sacrilege.
I knew I was going to get you on that one. But honestly, was Christopher Reeve all that good of an actor, or was he a great screen presence? Did he embody the character of Superman?
He embodied the character.
But he wasn't a great actor. He didn't have great range.
So he was
range.
A great actor.
Same with Linda Carter. Linda Carter's not a great actress. She has that smile, and she has that presence and that little bit of like gentle sarcasm that she applied in most of her movie roles. And that's what you love about her. For the longest time, I was trying to push Jessica Biel for Wonder Woman because she seems like a nice enough person. She's got a good smile. She's pretty. She's got the body for it. She had the action movie chops for it. Not a great actress by any stretch of the imagination. My main problem with Gal Gadot, besides the fact that the Israeli accent is not a Greek accent, is that like her line delivery during the slavery joke at the end of the trailer. That's sister kind of attitude. Where I come from, that's slavery. This is supposed to be set in the First World War, and you're speaking in a way that nobody on the planet fucking Earth spoke like at that time period. So I'm already having enough trouble buying you in that time period with that accent, and then your line delivery is going to be that arch and that anachronistic. That's a bother for me. That line delivery throughout Batman vs. Superman was awful. And I noticed too, she does not talk a lot in this trailer.
Nope.
So they give almost all the lines to Chris Pine, whatever the hell. And I'm wondering if they're not going to make him carry the movie, in which case, if it's a Wonder Woman movie and Wonder Woman doesn't talk and the main character is Steve Trevor and they just wheel her out to do these action sequences and grunt and stuff, that's not the Wonder Woman movie I'm signing up for.
Yeah. I'm worried, but it doesn't look, at least the trailer doesn't look like, at least you have still some questions. It's not like, well, seal the deal, this movie's going to suck.
Yeah, agree.
By that trailer. This trailer doesn't slam the door or anything on the movie at all.
There's enough in the trailer that I like that I can tell you now, barring like some really strong bad things coming in the future, I'm going to see the movie in the theater just to support Wonder Woman, and also because it just doesn't offend me enough. I'm guardedly optimistic. There are aspects of it. I like that they went back to World War I. I don't think that's a period that's been covered very much. It is difficult because so many Golden Age characters came out of World War II, and if you have Wonder Woman in World War II, it's really going to be hard to tell her apart from Captain America. And I like that they're bringing in aspects of the suffragettes from that time period. So yeah, that's cool. I like that she's also going to be Diana Prince. We've seen her with the little glasses and stuff. I'm looking forward to that. I'm glad they went to the bother of having Etta Candy, although it is funny because this movie is a bit of a throwaway because you know all the other Wonder Woman movies are going to take place in modern times. So you can have Etta, and that is a little funky because she's not really the Etta from the comics. She's a little bit of the George Perez one from the 80s and then a little bit from the 40s, but not really either one. And I really hate that joke at the end of the trailer.
Yeah.
Because it's
forced.
It's as forced as the "I heard you talk to fish" at the end of that one.
But I'll give that because that's such a common joke. The stand-up community has been doing that for ages. But trying to equate being a secretary with slavery, A, how she describes what a secretary does, and then B, what a woman jumping to slavery is like, you guys are all trying way too hard to make this joke work. Because I shouldn't be sitting there.
She's pretty, though.
She's pretty, though.
She's pretty. And I think the suit looks pretty good. The costume looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks fine. I mean, the armor. Yeah.
It's armor.
I did like her coming out of the trench, though. That was
kind of neat. Was cool. Fix it.
Not a big Wonder Woman fan. Movie did not impress me much. I'm still going to see it. I don't know enough. I mean, I dated someone for a while who was a huge Xena fan, so I was forced to watch Xena many a night. And, I mean, it felt kind of Xena-ish to me. I mean, I don't know.
Like modern-day Xena. Yeah. Or not modern, well, not
the
even modern
century. The shield really kind of throws me off. Like, it really kind of, it's just
it's
weird.
Not a Wonder Woman thing. The shield.
Yeah, shield and the sword. And I get it. That's from the cartoon and stuff.
But not even, I mean, it's very recent. They only started doing that in the main continuity around, like, 2011 with the New 52.
And she's doing
even in the cartoons, then they just started the cartoons with Justice League War when they had the first one. Or I guess it's Flashpoint, since that was the turnover point from the quasi-Timverse into the New 52
cartoons. She's kind of doing this weird anime sliding on her knees and kind of like, I don't know, like jet.
I can deal with that. I think the physics are okay.
It looks cool. Honestly, it looks cool. We talked about this earlier. I need DC to have a hit. Like, I really, really, after watching the last few DC projects, I really want DC to have a hit. I know we're going to go see Suicide Squad.
I'm still really looking forward to Suicide Squad. I got a really weird feeling
about that one, man. The more someone had put on YouTube, like big chunks of the movie, my mom had come over, we're hanging out, because I was showing her the trailers to get her opinion, and someone had put, I mean, it was a good 9 minutes of just big chunks of the movie, stuff I hadn't seen yet. I don't know if it was international trailers and stuff. Oh no, man. That damn Harley Quinn's gonna take me out of that movie so fucking fast. She has some more shitty lines.
I don't give a fuck about Harley Quinn, so it doesn't matter. I'm happy because you got Killer Croc and a bunch of other Suicide Squad guys. We'll see.
I hope it's good. I got hopes for Wonder Woman. I think it looks okay.
What's this? My mantra? It's the Wi-Fi password. We're not savages.
So Doctor Strange. I guess this is the final trailer, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, this is trailer 2.
I have some serious reservations about this movie, gentlemen. Serious.
Elaborate, sir.
So, first of all, it seems like they don't have any scenes that don't either take place in that temple or take place in a folding city. That's it. Which makes me think a bunch of this movie is going to be him becoming Doctor Strange, and there's going to be one big boss battle with folding cities, and that's going to be fucking it. Like, I got a feeling this movie is not going to go very many places. Which makes me a little worried, because then I think that we've seen all the magic. They're not going to get any fucking trippier than that. We're going to have folding cities and some weird, like, rotating kaleidoscope shit, and I think that that's it. There's no hint of another scene in this film that is hidden.
They would have to be hiding all their cool effects if they're going to go any place besides what they've already shown us.
And that's what I'm saying. I think there are. I think this is it. I think he's going to fight the dudes in the city. He's not going to Dormammu's fucking temple. I mean, he may watch.
I'd actually be kind of glad for that, because I save something for the sequel. I'm just concerned that there won't be a sequel.
Yeah. Go.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to this one. Visually, it's entertaining. I'm not a huge Doctor Strange fan, but I was intrigued. It's an origin story, so we already know it's going to start from the very beginning. It's going to be slow drawn in the beginning, pick up in the middle, and then have some kind of resolution at the end where he accepts his powers and he becomes one part of the Marvel Universe. I want to see it. I'm intrigued. I think they are going to do some trippy shit, but they're not going to do it here. They're not going to show you now. They're not going to blow their load on your face in the trailer. They're going to wait. They're going to do some weird shit where they're going into a universe where there's talking mouths and eyes. They're going to go straight Starlin weird artwork type.
I think they are. I hope they do. I hope they do. I don't think they are. And obviously, the Christopher Nolan parallels are all over this movie. The Batman Begins temple shit. There's the folding city shit from Inception. I don't know if they were hoping nobody would notice. Like, Inception maybe wasn't as big a hit as we remember. But if you go click on Facebook, it'll say, you know, have the trending story Doctor Strange, and I click on it, and it says the trailer, and I click comments, and it's all like, this looks like Inception, just from fucking dumbass people on Facebook. And I'm like, God damn it. The jig is up. This shit, everybody's like, everybody thinks this shit looks like Inception. And it
looks like Inception. Looks like
Inception. That was the thing Inception did, was folding all the cities around and shit. They seem to be going to that well a lot. Here's my other issue, and this is an overall issue, and it has to do with racial, ethnic choices, and it's the Brit washing of American men out of these fucking films. And it's happening all over Hollywood, where you can't have an American man play an American man anymore. You gotta get a fucking British guy, and he's gotta be all handsome and walk in here and do his terrible American accent.
I actually like the accent okay.
Yeah. Just like fucking Rick Grimes is fucking sweeping chimneys on the weekends when he's not made in Georgia.
I actually like Rick Grimes' accent too.
I know, it's fucking terrific, but he's
angry because they're taking American jobs.
He's taking jobs away from American. They're going to the European Union, all right, and they're taking our jobs away, whether it's freaking...
Well, actually, after the Brexit, that wouldn't actually apply.
Thor's American, and they got a freaking Australian
for
that.
At least Batman is an American again.
That's true. That's
Superman?
True. Well, he's dead, so it doesn't matter.
Actually, he wasn't.
Quotation marks.
But Clark Kent, Brit-washed.
They didn't blow their load yet. I'm looking forward to this one. And quick story.
I'm just saying, I don't see any place where they're hiding this load you're talking about, because I don't see any glimpse of any other scene.
It's August. The movie comes out in early November, so I guess they could drop one more trailer, but I thought this was the last one.
It could be one more. Okay, so I had my mother over. We were watching some trailers.
How is she, by the way?
She's doing well.
Oh, terrific.
And I just wanted to get her response. So basically, we watched all these trailers plus a couple of others, and I asked her in a row which movies she would prefer to watch and which least she wanted to watch. The top of her list was Doctor Strange. She really liked Doctor Strange. And my mom's not a big superhero film kind of buff. She'll watch
it
one.
It didn't look like much of a superhero film.
Yeah, what? She was really into, now she loves Zordov, weirdly, which Frank loves to bring up all the time. She loves Zordov. She's really into weird movies. So that
Boy and his dog.
Yeah, she loves that stuff. The one she liked the least was the Jet Li. She had no desire. She's like, I don't want to see that at all. I'm like, really? She said Wonder Woman looked interesting. I showed her Star Wars. She liked that one. I showed her Harry Potter. She liked that one. And we saw Kong, and she liked that one.
I thought Kong looked pretty cool too.
I didn't watch that one. So here's the deal. I don't think that they played up the sorcery enough. I figured that you'd try and hit the Harry Potter and the Superman, and I don't see them playing up the sorcery in any of this stuff.
I just think they're not. I don't think they're giving it away yet. I don't think they're giving it away
dude,
yet.
Dude, now's no, the time. All the
merchandising has that translucent glow shield with the designs on it. So I think that his main thing, his Wonder Woman shield, his broom from Iron Man, his repulsor blast, it's going to be the yellow shield thingy. The
circle things?
Yeah.
Damn, I hope not, because I really hope they go really trippy and just...
They're not, bro.
I don't think
they are, bro.
As you guys are aware, aware, I've not enjoyed any of the Doctor Strange trailers so far. I watched this trailer and I heard this gong sound in my brain. I think I actually like this trailer the least of the lot.
Really?
I really hated it because, like you said, it's fucking Inception. The whole twisty city thing. I read Doctor Strange comics. I know what Doctor Strange shit looks like. It doesn't look like fucking twisty shitties, and it doesn't look like the guy punches the building and the entire building caves in. That's Matrix fucking shit. You know I got pissed off with J. Michael Straczynski trying to turn Doctor Strange into Neo.
Hey, go listen to that podcast. It's a great one.
I'm still watching these guys make sorcery weapons, like that whip thing that the guy does. I don't know if that was Doctor Strange or somebody else. And that's just like that awful fucking direct-to-video cartoon that they made a number of years ago where they tried to make all the sorcery about weapons. There's no cool, trippy imagery.
It didn't bother me when you mentioned it after we read that J. Michael Straczynski shit. But that is the laziest shit ever when all you do is you just give them plasma weapons. When all of a sudden you're turning them into demons with swords and scythes and whips. That's the laziest shit ever, dude. It's magic. You can do fucking anything. And you just give them power weapons. What the hell, man? Yeah, they do that in this trailer too.
I think Benedict Cumberbatch, especially because he defended his belief that Britain should take on more Syrian refugees when people were like, you're an actor, you shouldn't be talking out. It's like, hey, I'm a British citizen. I'm going to say what I want to say. Fuck off. I applaud him. He seems like a good guy. He's a stand-up guy. He's got such a slappable fucking face, though. And I just, especially when he's in the origin portion, I just don't even like looking at the dude. I thought his accent was all right, but I just don't like looking at the guy's face.
I'm telling you, he's not talking a lot in these trailers either, and it's bothering me too.
But I think the accent's okay.
Well, that's fine. But I'm starting to think that maybe he's not really going to be the star of this movie either, and Wong's going to be the star of this movie.
I don't think it's going to be Wong either.
Wong. Wait, who's the black guy?
Oh, Baron Mordo.
Black guy's Mordo.
Yeah.
I think he's going to end up stealing the show in this
thing. I was going to say, okay.
Sorry if I stole your thunder.
Here's my two main issues. Main issue number one, the CGI looks like somebody ran it through Nero through a bunch of filters. It doesn't look
really?
Like... Yeah, it looks to me like all the fucking dumbass. Here's Crystal shooting up the middle of the screen.
And here's the star transition.
He backs up into the mirror universe and it shatters and he's on the other side of the mirror universe. Fucking like some crappy computer filter program. You know, none of those effects look remotely imaginative. They don't look like something that goes across dimensions and all that kind of cool shit. We're not seeing all the Ditko trippy acid shit. I would love if they did a Doctor Strange movie where it's fucking like stop motion and shit. Really go out there, use the old chemical effects like in the 60s where they're dropping bizarro Technicolor blacklight backgrounds and shit.
Partially animated, just like super, super.
That's what I'm saying. Like
weird.
Fucking stop motion and shit. Yeah. Mix all these different old school techniques, make it a feast for the eyes.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't even necessarily be all that expensive. It might be time consuming, which is a problem for these type of movies.
Did you realize this movie has to make money, right?
I get
it's
that.
It's not an art film. It's not a student art film where it's like,
hey,
Guba wants to make a Doctor Strange film and he's going to mind fuck you with all these weird.
But the whole fucking point of Doctor Strange, especially when he was a cultural icon, especially when he actually crossed over out of comics into the consciousness, was because of the pop art psychedelic imagery. People thought that Steve Ditko was dropping acid. They were so shocked and horrified to find that he was the straightest of straights, a fucking objectivist, far-right individual, and that Stan Lee, as hip as he tries to be, was pretty damn square too. And you got all these hippies coming in from the fucking village like, you guys do Doctor Strange? It should be a fucking trip. And instead, like I said, it looks like it's not good special effects. I think that looks bad.
Yeah,
it looks extremely derivative. And I honestly,
is how derivative it is.
It looks so much like everybody else's stuff. Yeah. Trying to put myself in the mindset of the average moviegoer, I don't see what's there that would attract them.
I don't see what people are like, oh, that movie that looks like Inception, I don't need to go see that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what's going to get people into theaters to watch this movie.
I recently rewatched Order of the Phoenix, which is the one that I like the best because that's the one with obvious
Sauron.
The Brits commenting on being strange bedfellows during the Iraq War and all this kind of bullshit. But also, that's the one that has the really cool battle between the old gay dude and the dude from Schindler's List.
Yep.
And so it's mostly just elemental shit. It's like water and fire and sand and stuff like that. But it looked really fucking cool and is the kind of sorcerous battle that I always want to see. And we've talked about the most obvious thing to do with Doctor Strange is to make him like cool superhero Harry Potter. And instead they're doing this Inception shit. You're not even getting the Harry Potter audience. You know, I know that Fixit would argue that they've already grown out and the Harry Potter audience is now working and they have money. If you gave them a movie
talking about like Inception and all these movies, most of the people are going to go see these movies are 20-ish, don't know any of these fucking movies.
Inception wasn't that fucking long ago, dude.
At least what?
It was like 4 years ago, motherfucker. Maybe six.
Back than that. A lot of these things, like you're talking about, Neil, the special effects, I thought they're fine. I think people are going to watch it because it's trippy and weird. Enough for them. They don't need to fucking go into stop motion animation and claymation. They got got to make it trippy enough where the normal film goer is going to go, oh, that's kind of cool. Let me go watch that.
2010.
Yeah. So not even like 6 years.
6 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, but that's just it, is you got to give them a reason to go see the movie. I think the only reason to see it is it's a Marvel movie. People don't give a fuck about Doctor Strange. He hasn't mattered in the popular consciousness since the 60s, really. The effects are derivative and boring. I hate the fucking dumbass music.
The ninja guys with the crackled eyes look really lame,
and
too.
That's the thing, too. The whole point of getting Mads Mikkelsen, whatever that guy's name is, the guy who was in Hannibal and in Casino Royale, is he's got those cool, weird-looking eyes, and they're putting shit all over his eyes. And I wasn't impressed with his performance. I'm having issues with Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. You've got the fucking whitewashing there.
And the Brit washing, don't forget.
And here's the thing, too, with Baron Mordo. I absolutely 100% agree with you. Chiwetel Ejiofor is one of the most charismatic sons of bitches on the fucking planet. I love that guy. I wanted him to play Black Panther before he was too old for the role. I enjoy him in all of his movies. I love his accent. He's a damned handsome man. And he fucking absolutely, even with that dumb Wi-Fi joke at the end of the trailer, he is so much more magnetic. He is so much more interesting. He's going to be fucking Loki. They're going to stop doing Doctor Strange movies, and he's going to be appearing in the Avengers movies.
I can see that.
So yeah, I think Baron Mordo is going to be the next Loki. I think Chiwetel Ejiofor is just going to fucking chew this shit up. But it kills me because one of the things we saw in the original Doctor Strange origin is that Mordo was always the adversary. You always knew for right up front, and now they're turning this guy into Sinestro. He's the guy who's going to be the buddy for much of the movie, and then he's going to have a heel turn either at the end or maybe they're going to save it for another movie. But I think he's going to end up being like a Loki. He's going to be so sympathetic and so much more interesting than the main guy that they're just going to have him go off into movies.
They're like, wait, how can this guy be a bad guy?
Yeah, right? He's so much cooler.
Why do I like him so much? How can he be a bad guy? Who cares about the boring white guy?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, the internet may wet its pants over fucking Benedict Cumberbatch. Nobody else is.
I still don't really get the
I don't
attraction,
get it at all.
In my opinion. But
where's Chiwetel Ejiofor? I could go if you gave for him. He's a hot fella.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hit him up on Twitter. Y'all came down a little heavy on that one, but
yeah.
Slide into his DMs.
Yeah, before we forget too, Thor Ragnarok. I'm getting kind of hard for this movie,
dude,
from what I'm hearing.
I got a chub. I've been saying this on the podcast for freaking months. Every little thing I hear about this movie is like, I want to see this.
It gets keep getting better and better.
More Hulk armor with an axe fighting people on an alien planet. Like, this is what I want to see.
I mean, we're going to, I think, maybe have a little bit more Thor versus Hulk, but even if we don't, we're going to have Hulk versus a whole bunch of other people.
Or Hulk and Thor versus a bunch of people.
Yeah.
This is what's good. This is good.
And I don't know if Loki, my understanding, Loki isn't in this one.
I think
they understand that the first two Thor movies got stolen by Loki, and if they're going to keep making Thor movies, they need to have one that really hits it out of the park.
Let's have Ruffalo steal this one.
And then it's like, oh, by the way, it's going to have Surtur. So they're going to fight fucking Surtur, one of the most badass Thor villains of all. And then they're like, oh, by the way, this is the movie that Thanos is going to appear in. And with the fucking Infinity Gauntlet. I love that the guy, Flight of the Conchords guy, actually drew this big purple guy in a chair with the Infinity Gauntlet. It's like, yeah, we're gonna have this guy in the movie too. And it's like, yes, 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 because they've been saying that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 isn't supposed to have any Thanos stuff in it.
Yeah,
so he's gonna be in fucking Ragnarok.
Yeah.
So there's just so much fucking shit that's gonna be in Ragnarok. And I love that they've got a director who apparently has a direction that he's going for. I understand they're supposed to be turning it into like a cosmic buddy movie. Everything about it just sounds fucking
awesome.
All of these
things sound good.
It all sounds great.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything.
You didn't see the Hulk armor?
Yeah, I saw that when you sent me the picture. That was all I've seen. I haven't seen any of the trailers. The leaked footage. I haven't seen any.
There's no leaked footage. Are they even filming it yet?
No, I think Fryhole told me
they did. No, there was a thing where they had Thor, not Thor, what's his name? Hemsworth, like he's Thor, being interviewed.
Oh, doing like in a behind the scenes group
thing.
Right,
so he was basically explaining what he was doing during Civil War. And that's where I think the Thanos image pops up from. So basically,
yeah, it's like on a piece of notebook paper, the little childish drawing. Yeah.
So that's it's like a mockumentary almost of what Thor's been up to.
The footage I heard is the one where it has Thor and Hulk charging at each other inside of an arena.
I've heard nothing of that.
I think Fryhole was telling me about it. There's that, and there's a scene of Hulk running through trees, and the trees are being plowed as he's running through them. What else did he tell me? It's something else, but there was...
Okay, well, you officially now know more than I did.
That was the only stuff I heard, but of course I haven't seen it, but apparently it was leaked online for a little bit off a cell phone that was shown at Comic-Con.
I'm game for all that.
Yeah.
So let's go there. Let's see that movie.
You're not jazzed up about...
Why aren't you more excited?
I gotta see more.
Battle World Hulk armor.
Fucking Thor Hulk combo with Surtur and Thanos, and you're like, I gotta see some more.
Yeah, I wanna see some more.
Even the fucking logo is cool.
Maybe if they fold some cities, I'll get excited about it.
fucking
with
asshole.
Fucking Nero filters and shitty synth music.
Yeah.
Maybe if they make it like the Matrix.
Or at least Terminator.
By the way, Avengers Infinity War.
The official title, right?
The official title. Well, the official title of number 5, Untitled Avengers. I love one of the websites was like, we know the title of the 4th and 5th Avengers movie. And you go and check, like, and the 5th movie is, didn't believe title, Untitled Avengers.
It'll probably, I bet it'll be the Avengers Assemble or something like that, where they pull the team back together.
I don't think they can do that because the original movie was called Avengers Assemble in many international territories.
Oh, was it real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because they had to differentiate from the UK's Avengers.
Bird washing.
Well, I think that they it's just the backlash against the two-part movies. So they were, you know, I don't.
Backlash.
Well, because the second parts of all these movies they're breaking up into two aren't making the money like they used to.
I think what they're trying to explain to everybody is that we're not adapting. It's not like Harry Potter where they took one book and split it into two. This is an original story. So they can make it into two movies and you don't have to call it part one and part two. You can totally BS and say, no, this is a whole movie and this is a whole movie. We're not breaking up a single story into two because technically this is all one big long story. It's not original. It's original material. So they don't have to call it part one, part two. So I think that's what they're doing. I still think it'll be whatever the fuck they were going to do before.
I just really, really hope they make the effort to get some of the TV guys into Infinity War.
I don't care about that. I understand what the big freaking outrage is.
Yeah.
Well, they keep
like
saying they can't.
Doing a bunch of D-list actors on TV wrong by not having them appear in these movies. Just like, shut up. Who cares?
I care. I want to see them in fucking movies.
You got your TV jobs. Go away. This is big boy stuff. They got Robert Downey Jr. and shit. You need to go just do your TV movies and shut up. That's it. They don't owe you anything, TV people.
Okay. While we're at it, Ghost Rider in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hey, all right. I'd rather him be on Netflix.
Yeah, me too.
Well, if they're going to do the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider, though. That's the one that has the muscle car and the paraplegic's brother and stuff.
But
yeah,
Is it going to be one of those things where he's only on flames like every other episode or for like 2 minutes?
I pretty much guarantee. Well, flame effects are the cheapest special effects you can do. So that would actually be pretty easy because he could just wear the dumb metal helmet. Because that's another thing, too. He doesn't have like an exposed skull in that version of Ghost Rider. It's like this metal skull like helmet, so you just have a car and you either light it on fire or you animate it, but it's not that hard to do. I think anything that'll make Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. better would be a plus, especially because they kind of fucked up, because one of the best things about the show was Mockingbird, which is funny. After I talked shit on the Mockingbird episode, she was actually a total highlight for the second and third season of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they've written her out.
Really?
Because they wrote her out because
they were gonna have their own series and they decided not to. Yeah. I really didn't find her or her love interest that interesting in the series.
Nah,
I found them.
Nah.
Dude, I watched
you
show.
You saw her wrong. That was the best thing about that show.
She was the badass that popped up and got out of shit. I was wondering where they were going with it. I mean, I liked the whole Hydra.
Well, don't go into it too much because eventually I want to do S.H.I.E.L.D. season two and three with you. So
I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was kind
of weird. I'm actually editing finally our first season that we recorded. Yeah. I've got a chunk of it edited now. So
like I said, I thought it was all right.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now has like more unfettered access to the Inhumans. They don't just have to use the shitty super peripheral Inhumans.
Yes, they canceled the movie. They're just like,
cancel the movie?
Well, they haven't canceled. Said, oh yeah, we're 100% canceling the movie. But the fact is that was always Ike Perlmutter's thing. And I don't think they want to make the movie. And I really seriously wonder if there isn't a rights issue too. Because they debuted in the Fantastic Four. My understanding now is that the contracts that they signed with Fox were like super vague. Like, you can use characters from Fantastic Four comics. Obviously, they're doing Black Panther stuff. But I don't know for a fact that Fox couldn't do Black Panther stuff that they really wanted to, which is very interesting. And it actually makes sense that Marvel Studios has gotten cozier with Fox lately. Maybe they want to avoid situations like the dual Quicksilvers, and that would make sense. But I think that the Inhumans came out of Fantastic Four comics. Pretty much all the Inhumans debuted in various issues of those books. So they may not be able to put them in the movies legally. So it might be smart to just leave them on TV.
So I know they talked to the Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. guy and he was all like, well, we're trying to get Lockjaw. Lockjaw's who we want to get.
You see that happen? Seriously? Yeah. Are you joking?
He said, we're pushing hard. I think, unless I skimmed it. Like, man, I skim these at work, guys, when I'm trying to do work.
So we were trying to get the big dog, teleporting dog.
I just imagine they have like a giant mastiff and they put a wishbone on his head.
Maybe he was
being
sarcastic.
Around.
But it raised the question. So listen though, before you, please stop laughing at my comment. Please stop laughing. But the question then is, who are they getting clearance from? Not that it's fucking Lockjaw. Laugh again, asshole. Who is it they're trying to get a clearance from? Are they talking this over with Fox, maybe? Maybe it's because Fox is like, well, in our next Fantastic Four movie, we want to have Crystal and Lockjaw. join it? Or is it just he's just talking to the higher-ups at Marvel, who they want to get him for the television show?
They have said that they are letting them have access to what right. they, I think they called them the core Inhumans or something, or the classic Inhumans, something, Karnak. Something like that. By the way, that's another thing.
Ooh,
I didn't like
Karnak
about
would be cool.
Karnak would be easy, so they should totally do Karnak and make him Asian to just, you know, make up for all the people they've given roles to that
and get a
Asians.
British guy to play the Asian.
British Asian, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I didn't like about the Doctor Strange trailer too is all the teleporting, because another one of the things that's like Doctor Strange's thing is the astral projection. He can't teleport wherever the fuck he wants to. That's why he sends his astral self, and that puts him at risk whenever he does that, but he can only travel like to the other side of the world as an astral projection. So when they give him teleportation, it's like, oh, so that's a major key plot point that comes up in tons of Doctor Strange stories that you no longer have to bother with. That's like his, like, seriously, that's like one of his main fucking powers. That's like, oh, Superman doesn't need heat vision.
If
astral projection is like,
at any point makes an energy sword and starts fighting with an energy sword, will you get up and walk out of the theater?
I'll consider it.
Yeah. Seriously, I might even, and I don't even give a shit that much about Doctor Strange, but if he starts teleporting everywhere and then whips out a big energy sword to fight with, I would seriously consider just like getting up and leaving. Because I guarantee you, I've seen whatever movie they're about to show me.
So is he crazy or?
Continue. He believes he's mentally ill.
Yep.
But he may be the most powerful mutant we've ever encountered.
Can we take a break?
Fox has been wanting to do more X-Men stuff in TV. Marvel has given them greater access to the X-Men in television as well. So there's definitely some sweetheart deals going on now, which is probably going to be for the best for everybody. So Legion on, is it main Fox or one of the FX?
It's FX.
I think it looks kind of cool. I hadn't seen that trailer yet.
I'm not sure. Seems like House with psychic powers, kind of.
It looks nothing like House.
Now he's doing that whole thing with his eyebrows, and he's like, kind of, I'm so fucking smart, you don't know what I'm thinking yet, but I'm 10 steps ahead of you, trust me.
No, I don't know where the fuck you're getting that read from. He was cray-cray. Like,
the fact you use cray-cray, get the fuck out.
Edit cray-cray out. We gotta edit cray-cray out.
Oh, Christ. What are you, a 13-year-old girl?
Today's blogging tip, don't use profanity. Don't use chat slang. Use professional language.
Go ahead, finish up. I'm sorry.
I've always hated the character of Legion. The only reason why Legion existed is so that Bill Sienkiewicz could do wild and crazy shit with the guy's hair and his various schizophrenic powers, his multiple personality disorder issues. Bill Sienkiewicz isn't drawing the show that I don't give a fuck.
Did you ever read the little series that came out?
I didn't. Great, whatever. I don't give a shit. I don't like protagonists that are severely mentally unstable like that, because it gives them a license to do dumb shit, like turn it into a Bollywood musical for a minute there. The whimsical crazy.
Dude, you're like all over the place, man. Like, one place you're like, cool, it's weird, it should be weirder and crazier and weird. And the other one you're like, no, it's too weird, it's too crazy, it's not too weird.
It's fucking classical bullshit fantasy crazy. If they were actually doing stuff where this guy was like in a mental instability that resembled something in reality, and it could be kind of fucking edgy and shit. Like, Mac got me watching Mr. Robot recently, and I've only got through the pilot so far, but that's a show about a character who is high functioning but definitely unstable mentally. Mm-hmm. And it's handled extremely well, and it's extremely realistic, and so I respect that, because the show is about this guy who's walking that fine line between being very capable and being beneficial to society and being a real fucking threat to everyone around him.
I need to watch Mr. Robot.
That's really interesting.
It's on Amazon now.
That's a way of handling a character with mental issues as a reasonably close approximation to a protagonist and making it work. This is that goofy, comical, whimsical, crazy. I think it's tasteless personally.
Cool. In the books,
I know nothing about Legion the character.
They had a little miniseries that
came
out.
He's the one with the big, tall, black hair.
Well, when you mentioned Sienkiewicz, then I was like, oh, that's Legion. Yeah. But other than that, I know nothing.
He got a book in the recent years, and they're probably basing it on that newish book.
It's not. Because in the newish book, he spends a lot of time in his head.
Think that's what's happening on that fucking show?
In his head, he has all these personalities in cages. He has to keep them locked up because they all want a shot out. But he pulls them out every once in a while. He can absorb them for a little bit and use their powers.
Isn't the gimmick that each of his multiple personalities has a different power?
Yeah.
And so in order to access those powers, he has to let that personality loose.
But he has them all caged.
That
but
could
in the
very
book,
well be what was happening in that
trailer. In the book, someone breaks the cages and they're all loose and they're actually chasing him around in his head. So when he's functioning in real life, you're getting this, you're not really sure who you're talking to or what you're talking to, because each power is jumping in and out trying to take over him while he's trying to keep control of himself. It was kind of interesting. I didn't get to finish this, but it was an interesting take on him. This, I probably won't watch until it's,
I may not watch it. I just got too many things to watch. So yeah. I'm not sure if this is going to slot in there or not. But, well, if the first three episodes get a nice buzz, maybe I'll watch it.
And it's X-Men, and you and X-Men aren't exactly
sync up. Yeah.
Yeah, but I know nothing about it, though, so it's different.
Well, and it's obviously very much doing its own thing off to the
side.
Yeah,
like freaking Xavier's not going to show up and wheel his dumb ass.
Well, I did like that they managed to incorporate the X symbol into Legion.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised with that.
Okay, I got one more for you.
What's next?
Luke Cage on Netflix.
Please, Lord Jesus, let him say Sweet Christmas once.
Didn't he say it in Jessica Jones? I thought I remembered him saying Sweet Christmas.
Did he?
Was it right before he banged her, maybe?
Might have well have been.
I think it was might afterwards.
Let me whip this Christmas out.
No, I think it was right when he was done. He was like, Sweet Christmas or something like that.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah. Or that, or I was like, that would be a great time for him to say Sweet Christmas.
I love that they dropped an F-bomb in the fucking trailer. Like, because letting you know it's Netflix, we're going to get away with some shit.
Oh, it's going to get dirty. It's going
to
be a little dirty.
I was very, very happy to hear Wu-Tang.
ODB, son, it's ODB.
The old dirty bastard, may he rest in peace.
R.I.P.
And it was a cool sequence. It was a good action sequence.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably like the first 5 minutes of the first episode. You're not spoiling anything.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to be his the villain in it?
They've got Black Mariah's supposed to be in it, and I think they've got Copperhead in it.
Really?
Yeah, and I want to say they've got...
Wait, from the Serpent Society?
No, Copperhead is a character that was specific to Luke Cage. I think his name is Copperhead. I'm pretty sure it is.
The first Diamondback was a foe of Luke Cage. Well, a striker, one of Luke's childhood friends, first appeared in Luke Cage, Hero for Hire number 1, known for his mastery of specialty gimmick knives.
In his origin story, which we really ought to probably look into pretty darn soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the character that he grew up with that became his enemy, like his main enemy in the origin story. So he's going to be in there as well. I assume we're going to get an origin story in here.
I thought it looked good, and the dude that plays Luke Cage, I freaking love that guy.
Yeah, Michael Coulter looks good.
He's really good in Jessica Jones. I think that he's just an extremely likable dude. He's really good, and he's freaking big and gigantic, so he looks like Luke Cage.
He looks more like the Luke Cage of recent years, from the Brian Bendis stuff.
Sure.
But I don't care, because he's a good actor, and he looks good in action.
He looks like he could kick your ass.
Yes, he totally does.
What Luke Cage looks like, he would kick your ass.
Yeah.
So where if somebody's like, you know what, I kind of believe that guy might be bulletproof in real life, right? You know what, this isn't such a stretch. So yeah, I think it looks good.
I just like that he's not shooting laser beams or anything. He's just a walking tank.
But he's a freaking tank. I love when he reached in the wall to pull out a pipe to hit dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I love that, because it's like, you know, when video games became more and more like, suddenly you could just knock a wall down, and you're like, oh shit.
Grand Theft Auto.
Right. That's part of the playing field. So he's like, oh, there's a wall here. Instead of me just fighting you in a hallway, I'll just reach into the wall and pull out a pipe and hit you with it. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And what's great is, you know, that's a cheap effect.
Yeah,
but because it's a physical space that you can relate to in real life, you feel him rip the wall and pull the pipe. And it's more meaningful than a lot of the superhero stuff you see, where it's so grandiose that I can't connect to it.
Yeah.
Other thing I like is Netflix, especially the Marvel movies, have this thing for hallways and ass kicking.
They're all doing old
Daredevil, Punisher.
That's their Tarantino trunk shot.
Yeah, dude. In a Marvel film
Old boy. It's the old boy fight. They just keep restaging the old boy fight.
But do not walk down a hallway with a Marvel hero, because someone's ass is getting beat to music.
And it's not just someone. It's going to be a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's going to be a highlight of the season, how badly you get beaten.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. Especially since you can binge watch the shit out of it, too.
Well, I still have trouble with binge watching.
Really?
I need a show to tell me, hey, I'm coming out this week. Try to set aside time to watch me this week, because the next week there'll be another episode and you don't want them to pile up. Where when it's already on Netflix, and I know it's not going anywhere because it's a Netflix show, it's like, it took me an entire year to finish watching Orange is the New Black season 3. And by the time I was done, I couldn't deal with going into season 4, and I probably will never watch season 4 from what I hear. And I haven't watched a single episode of Daredevil season 2 yet either.
It's quicker, but even we've stalled out on it, and I'm not going to rush to get back to it, because I know that it's...
How far did you get?
Four or five episodes.
Okay, it's like 10 to 12, right?
12, 13. Like
that. How was it compared to the first season so far?
It's much better.
You like it better? Okay.
Because they don't have to do the origin shit anymore.
Yeah, that's good.
And Elektra's really good.
Sorry.
You think the four of you can save New York? You can't even save yourselves.
So So the Defenders teaser, that was definitely a teaser. Yeah, that's, trailer.
Not a sizzle reel.
Yeah, not a sizzle reel. No. Teaser. Kind of far off. I guess they have that on there to remind everybody. You do realize we're not going to get another Daredevil or Jessica Jones season until 2018.
Really?
They've announced that, yeah. They're going to set aside all their time after the Power Man and Iron Fist shows, because we should have took them in order, fucker. Going to go straight into Defenders.
Okay.
So we've got a line by Scott Glenn and the goofy stick. Thing, yeah, stick, and the goofy hand and a logo, and that's all we got.
We heard anything? We know who the villain's going to be?
Nope.
Okay. I don't think they've even hinted at it.
I think they're still debating who's even going to be on the Defenders team.
Sure.
And the other thing that gets me, too, is if they're not... So does that mean... So Jessica Jones Season 2 won't be out until 2018, huh?
Guess so.
So we're not going to get Hellcat in the Defenders? I really thought we were going to get Hellcat in the Defenders. I was kind of hoping for that.
Yeah, she's really good, too.
She's so good on that show.
She's pretty, too.
She's a good-looking lady.
She's a good-looking lady.
Man, that bums me out, actually. Plus, we know Valkyrie is going to... By the way, Valkyrie is going to be in Thor Ragnarok as well.
Oh, nice.
Played by Tessa Thompson.
Who?
Tessa Thompson was in Dear White People.
Cross-referencing.
And, yeah. I'm trying to remember what else she's done. That's the main thing I've seen her in. She's hot. So and they are making Valkyrie black, which is cool with me. Because I find Sif quite boring. So I'm glad they've just decided to go ahead and get another warrior
she's
woman.
She's also attractive.
She's attractive, but I don't think the Sif character is very interesting. I really hated her in S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, of course not. Oh, yeah,
she appeared like twice in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow, she's gonna be Valkyrie?
Yeah.
Rad.
Yeah.
I am down with that. What else has she been in? She looks... Oh, she was in Creed.
Ah, see, I didn't see Creed.
She's the girlfriend from Creed.
Oh, okay. Really? The annoying deaf girlfriend?
Was she deaf?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
He's knocking on the door, and she turned down her hearing aid.
Yeah, got it.
So, I do like that they used the old Defenders logo.
God.
I like that they used the old school Defenders logo from the comics. I think that looks cool, and I really... The team they've got is the Marvel Knights, the short-lived group that they had in the early 2000s. Yeah. It's not any incarnation of the Defenders that we ever got to see.
So, we won't see Gargoyle?
Right. But he was kind of a later addition anyway. The Defenders were Hulk, Silver Surfer, Namor, Doctor Strange, Valkyrie, Hellcat, Son of Satan. Well, okay, Luke Cage was a Defender, so there is that.
Defender?
Here's what I want to ask. Okay, so Iron Man is synonymous with AC/DC. We had 4 Degrees by Tool in the early Captain America trailers.
Such a good song.
We're in this together now, Nine Inch Nails. In the Avengers.
Also an amazing song.
Yeah. And now we've got Come As You Are, Nirvana. Are they just trying their best to like tweak our nostalgia, yep. 80s and 90s kids?
Yeah.
And that's actually something that I give Justice League credit. I appreciate that they use Icky Thump by White Stripes because at least it's part of the current century. You know, like all the Marvel stuff is definitely playing to 30 and 40 year olds and 50 years olds actually with AC/DC. So it's nice that even though I think White Stripes is no longer really that contemporary, they've been broke up for so long, but it is nice that Justice League is trying to be a little bit more up to date while still totally biting on Marvel's action.
Yeah.
No more of the big symphonic. Let's get the, what's that fucker's name? The guy who did Hans Zimmer. We're not going to worry about the Hans Zimmer scores anymore. Now we're going to go do some pop music.
Fan service.
Except for Wonder Woman.
The sitar.
But the thing
it's
is,
not a keytar. And talking to your microphone.
I will say this. The more I hear it, it's cheesy in an amusing way. It is starting to go.
Oh, no, dude. I keep waiting for it to go, this is Sparta.
Yeah. But, I mean, the 70s theme was cheesy, too. And I'm definitely associating it with Wonder Woman now. So I'm appreciating that.
What is that sound in the background? It's so dumb, dude. Yeah.
But so is the old. Also, is the old theme. It's cheesy as hell.
It doesn't matter. No, they're different cheesy. It's
like,
different.
Because hers almost seems like a startup. Like, you know she's going to start kicking ass when you start.
Yeah, it's very much.
That's told at the beginning. The
and then all of a sudden, she starts kicking ass and I'm like, oh, God. So we're going to hear this for the next 5 minutes.
It sounds like 80s hair metal, given.
I'm always curious if they're going to do that, like every scene in the movie when she starts kicking ass. Like,
No, he's right. It's very 300.
Okay. I never actually saw
a lot of Egyptian stuff.
Yeah. 300. Actually reminds me of the scene wherever when they go into the tent and that goat's playing the sitar?
Sitar, yeah.
The guitar, the goat man is actually playing it. That always reminds me. When I hear that, I literally see the little goat man behind her like... So.
Well, they're still trying to key into the very few positive feelings around Batman versus Superman. So people saw Wonder Woman and they heard the theme, and they're looking for a Pavlovian response.
If you look at like the Google reviews for it and stuff, it's got like 5 stars. But nothing is ever rated correctly on any of these stupid things. Because if you took time to watch it, you probably liked it. But I don't understand what the big deal is. This movie's amazing.
Oh, yeah, trust me. I lost a lot of respect for Rotten Tomato when they rated Ghostbusters, the new one, so high.
What did it get?
Oh, man, it was like a 75, I think.
75 isn't that high. Like, relative to how you felt about it.
Dude, I put it in the minus.
Next trailer.
Hello, Danny.
So I guess that was a teaser as well?
Yeah, it's going to be... They don't have a date on Iron Fist yet.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think they're very deep in the filming on that one yet, so they don't have a lot to work with.
So I was like, they didn't really...
I feel like we've been seeing set photos from them from a long time ago, though.
I just remember seeing shots of the knight dude from Game of Thrones running around with his fake bare feet like Chris Evans in the first Captain America movie.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
It's only been a few months, I think. Well, I guess maybe they've been working on it for a little while. Yeah, okay. You know, they might be a good part for...
Show.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how long they've got for Netflix's shows. I don't know how long they shoot for.
Here's what I think about this. With how critical people have been of this project so far, you should have shown a lot fucking more than that, and it should have been way more better than that.
Well, what criticism did they have for Iron Fist besides he's white, which he was white in the comics?
When those set photos came out, everybody was like, this looks absolutely stupid, because he looks homeless, like he should be kicking a hacky sack around. And
that is a little dumb, because that's not who that character is. He's a rich guy.
Right, it's really, really dumb looking, and that was literally, it was just, that's what they showed for the trailer, too.
America's Greatest Hero Fro should have probably been cut instead of using that.
Uh-huh.
That's not a good look in 2016. It wasn't that great of a look in 1982.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's returned to America in some sort of days, right? But
yeah,
you need to give us another taste of what the show's going to actually be about.
We've been getting some requests to do the Iron Fist origin. Maybe we ought to look into that.
Okay, cool, because I know nothing about Iron Fist.
I don't know tons about him.
Very little.
I just know him from Power Man and Iron Fist, and
yeah.
You know, obviously, I wasn't buying the book so much for Iron Fist, but the trailer looks fine. I think it reflects his origin reasonably well, I guess. So, but there's not a lot there to work with, and I do like the logo. I think it's more from the Matt Fraction, David Aja series from a few years ago.
You're trying to say
no, Matt Fraction, I believe it was.
It's all the Bendis run to me.
To you, yeah.
What about you, Fix It?
I go either way on this one. I don't know anything. I don't know much about. You know what? I take it back. I did read the Matt Fraction stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he had the
the fact that you're like, oh yeah, I did read that series. It's not a good sign.
It took me a while because I forgot that I was more interested in the other characters, like Fat Cobra, all the other.
Oh, so he gets outshined in his own book, is what you're saying?
A little bit to me, yeah, because the other characters are more interesting, because it was almost kind of a Mortal Kombat type thing where all these characters were coming from other realms,
yeah,
to battle.
But that's kind of what Kunlun is.
Yeah. So yeah.
Well, and you're enjoying the Hawkeye series that was by pretty much the same creative team.
Bad Fraction. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, really? It's good?
Yeah, I'm like 7 issues in. It's fantastic.
I'll have to read it.
I'm enjoying the shit out of it. Reads really, really fast.
Oh, that's just modern comics.
Yeah, maybe.
Which is why it's good that you're not paying $4 an issue for the goddamn things.
Yep.
So that would be
$28?
You feel like you had $28
like
worth of reading?
Half of my year's worth of Marvel Unlimited subscription. Yeah. Feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, no shit.
What was the name of that other DC TV show that was coming out?
Folks with powers, it's their world. We just live in it.
My name is Emily Luck. I'm a claims adjuster for a very special kind of insurance company.
Since the damage was caused by Wonder Woman, should we deny as an act of God?
Technically, she's a demigod, so it's kind of a gray area.
In a city full of heroes, it's easy to feel not so super, but you never know where power may be hiding.
Oh, I want to nail Aquaman so hard.
DC TV show?
Oh, hey, let's talk about the Superman Supergirl teaser photo they released.
Okay, Superman looks like shit.
It's like fucking so terrible, dude. Well, this can't be real, right? No, this has got to be a fan Photoshop.
Here's the thing about the DC shows, because they're all in the same, the Berlanti-verse, I call it. They always look terrible in that first promotional shot. They actually work reasonably well on film in action. They always look better. Like the Flash suit, I remember the Flash suit, nobody liked that fucking fast Flash suit when it first came out.
Oh, I have no idea what this is.
Well, they're giving you a Marvel opening. This is going to be some stupid fucking YouTube bullshit.
No, it's supposed to be the image.
Stupid fucking YouTube bullshit.
You dumbass. They're showing pictures of the ones you were talking about.
Oh, great. I can't wait to wait for 5 minutes to look at a fucking picture on a YouTube video.
You watch this lame shit. I don't, dude.
I could care less.
No, I do not watch this Lang shit.
I wonder if this is the top 10 stills from San Diego Comic-Con.
I wouldn't watch this shit. I don't care if Superman's on it.
Okay, so well, you're going to have to, motherfucker, because she's going to cross over into all the other shows. Yeah, plus, Martian Manhunter is on that show.
Ruined for
respect for she's John Jones.
Pretty awesome.
She's so hot. She's gorgeous.
I think she's great as that character.
She's so she's absolutely
got that screen presence you were talking about earlier.
Well, the thing
this
is,
guy playing Superman. I'm not so sure. Yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Not
here's
that
the
he's
thing.
Supposed to. But.
Exactly. That's my point. Exactly. The fucking show is called Supergirl. I never wanted Superman on the fucking show. I wanted him just enough to get him out of the show, which they did a pretty decent job with for most of the season of Supergirl.
He was sending her emojis or whatever?
Yeah, shit like that. My favorite part is toward the end of the season when a bunch of people get like kryptonite sickness or they get possessed by a computer program from Krypton and Superman gets hacked too. And so they just keep showing his feet at the end of a table because he's been knocked out by the virus. So it's just he's just his boots and his cape on the end of a table and they're just like walking around and you keep seeing little boots off the corner. So, you know, that the show is called Supergirl. I'm not signed on for a Superman show. I absolutely don't want Superman to ever fucking eclipse Supergirl. The one time he did appear on the show where he did eclipse her was in an early episode, and that was sort of the point of the episode, is showing her come back from that humiliation. She looks fantastic. She's beautiful. She has the best costume of the entire Berlantiverse. And she looks so much better than the dude, the Superman
and
suit.
And why is the suit so good?
Because she's hot, for starters.
Well, and also because it just kind of looks like the comic book.
It looks a lot like the comic book, but they do make some changes. One thing is they give her...
But she doesn't have fucking armor and shit like that.
Exactly. There's no fucking armor. It's very functional. You can understand that people are
in these... No weird textures.
Yeah. Well, there actually is texture, but it's not weird texture.
I didn't say there was not a texture. I said it's not a weird texture.
I like to... They give her very subtle fake muscles on the arms. So when you see her in action, she looks like really cut, like she could really kick some ass. I've seen her without that on. She isn't that cut. But it's just subtle enough so you can buy it, but she still looks totally feminine. I think the boots look good. I think that the stockings look good. She's so colorful and great smile, great personality, great persona. She sells that character so well. I wish that she could travel back through time and hang out with Christopher Reeve and Linda Carter because she's just so well embodies and is such a positive reflection of that character. So I'm loving that. But yeah, the guy who's in the Superman suit, it looks like...
Yeah, but it's a bad show, though.
Yeah, well, it's like after the last episode of Smallville... There's a lot of...
It's like a bad show.
It's often a bad show.
He sold me on never to watch it, so...
Right, well, it's like a bad show.
Well, it's like I kept trying to tease Ange into doing a little short like podcast review show. I would only want to do like 15 minutes per episode. I wouldn't want it to be too grandiose.
It's Frankie and Ange.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And he's never bit, and it's probably for the best because I would be the negative guy and he would be the positive guy.
Yeah.
Because again, Supergirl, out of the 20 episodes I think they produced, there's like two or three good episodes, and then there's another like five where you've got like 15 good minutes.
Wait,
and
how
otherwise,
many episodes?
Like 20 episodes.
20 episodes?
Yeah, so it was almost.
This is a terrible show. It's not a good show.
So there's a handful. Episodes? There's a handful of good episodes. Let's be generous, and I'll say 4 to 5 actual good episodes.
That's not enough good shows. That makes
for 20.
Out of 20?
Yeah, out of 20, that makes this a bad show.
Well, don't forget, I'm the one judging, though, so I'm kind of going to be harsher. I don't watch most of those.
So he's judging it.
Yeah,
most likely Martian Manhunter episodes. So.
One of the best episodes is the Martian Manhunter episode. Duh.
What network dropped it?
CBS.
Well, CBS didn't think it's a good show. CBS is a bad show.
They sent it to CW, where all the teen shows go to die.
Yeah, and you know
what
also?
No, they don't die. They thrive there, dummy. Right.
So does bacteria.
No, you watch the fucking CW DC shows. Don't front. No.
I watch this show and I'm almost going to
talk into the fucking microphone.
I am talking to the microphone, you asshole. This show, I'm almost.
You did not fit it again.
We're watching DC Legends of Tomorrow Season 2.
Nobody requested Legends of Tomorrow Season 2.
Hey, what's up with these dumb, shitty costumes all these guys wearing this one? I see the costumes and I'm like, I never, ever want to see anything from this show. The fuck is this shit? That was what? What? So what? Wasn't it the guy that played Superman?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The XO Manowar? My name
is
Rex Tyler.
I'm a member of the Justice Society of America. Is that Jesse Pinkman? That could look cool.
You want to see the sad thing about that?
He's all like, that's the Wi-Fi password.
That was all season one.
Not all of it. The stuff with Damian Dark was season
99% was season one.
I'm sure a good chunk of it was, yeah.
More than a good chunk. I saw the whole season. I'm watching. I'm like, they haven't put anything new. This is a trailer for season two. The only scene was that part where she's about to tell that dude she's going to kill him. That's the only thing.
The Minority Report guy?
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, that's Dum Dum Dugan.
Who?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, they're jumping ship now.
Kept looking to see if they were going to show Vixen, since she's supposed to be on that show now. But it's going to be a Vixen from like several centuries in the past, because they couldn't get the actress who guest starred as Vixen in one episode of Arrow and provided the voice for the character on the really bad CW seed cartoon.
What are you talking about?
Okay,
right now?
Vixen. You know who Vixen is?
No, I don't want to go into this anymore.
I don't. He's the one who fucking got into the CW shit.
Time legends could come in here and wipe all this shit out. This whole conversation.
Agreed.
Care about this plastic ass television show.
This is part of CW, dude. This is one of their big shows.
I'll tell you what, though, the effects were better than I was expecting.
They looked like Doctor Who level.
Yeah,
you know.
They are. There's one where Now, let me ask you real quick. In the comics, did the Atom ever turn huge, like Giant Man?
Very briefly during a period of Teen Titans when he was the leader of the team. He'd been de-aged and it was bad. Everything. That's not fucking the Atom on that show. That's why one of the reasons why I don't watch the show. That's fucking Blue Beetle crossed with Exo Man of War.
Because I actually watched it because I was hoping they were going to do like a crazy Vandal Savage. They didn't.
Yeah, well, I don't think many people are very excited about Legends of Tomorrow. But the thing is, there's going to be, because you understand that at least...
You said Supergirl was going to be part of it.
Well, here's the thing. Flashpoint happened on the Flash TV show. And that's also altered the continuity on the Arrow show. So even though they made a big deal about killing off Black Canary on the previous season, now we're in the new continuity where she's going to be back alive again.
My understanding, well, I saw something right now where they're talking about how Flashpoint isn't going to last the entire season either. It's just,
I don't know. But the point is those two shows are in the same continuity. Per the CBS series, because the Flash appeared on Supergirl's show or not vice versa, she's in another universe where they're unfamiliar with her character and where Superman and Supergirl don't interact with the rest of the Berlantiverse.
Okay.
But you just altered continuity through Flashpoint, and my understanding is they're already planning a crossover for all four shows, and the center character will be Supergirl. So my assumption is they're going to use the reversion of the Flashpoint continuity to bring her into the continuity of the greater Berlantiverse, where she had been isolated because she was on CBS. So basically, if they hadn't gone through all that trouble to have Flash guest star on one goddamn episode, she could just show the fuck up and we wouldn't have to deal with all this fucking continuity bullshit.
Oh, these shows are dumb. If I ever get on the CW, it's because my kid picked up the remote and accidentally pushed the button.
Well, actually, one of the problems with the CW shows is that they still doesn't have like strong national penetration. There's like chunks of the United States that don't even have a CW network.
Damn, I got a little hard when you said national penetration. I don't know. Well, it's weird.
What is it? But I know DC's coming out with like a comedy show, ain't they? Like,
yeah, on NBC, it's Powerless.
Powerless,
with Vanessa, very fucking hot Hudgens. Very fucking
hot.
What
channel?
NBC.
Yeah, that's what I thought was weird, because most of their stuff's either on.
Yeah, it's got
hey,
that dude from
the Kong trailer. I don't want to talk about DC anymore.
Okay, you don't want to see Powerless?
I don't even want to see Powerless.
I don't know. I don't know anything. I just heard.
Well, the thing is,
comedy show that DC was doing.
Again, it's a DC comedy, and we've established that DC so far has not demonstrated that they have any gift for comedy.
Okay,
but Vanessa Hudgens.
I'm a friend of your son's.
What?
I know, because you had a cape.
Oh, right. Yeah, that. Okay. I'm still flashing back to Ned Beatty from 35 years ago. So
bad. They played that on the cruise.
What, Superman?
Did you see that? The trailer for Matt Damon's new movie, The Great Wall?
Oh, I heard people are mad about that.
Yeah. It's horrible.
He's all like, they get me some chowder out here in this wall. Sully.
You like dim apples.
The voice work doesn't look good. It doesn't, like, things don't match correctly. It sounds kind of bad. And the special effects are not very good. And it's a Chinese U.S. co-production with the guy who did, like, Hero and I think House of the Flying Daggers.
Motherfucking apes on a motherfucking island!
I was just thinking that.
That gorilla reminds me of Roseanne.
Superfly TNT!
For I am the Lord.
Oh, Kong's one of the Infinity Stones. That's cool. Captain Marvel.
It's funny to me how much Kong Skull Island, through its casting and its special effects, still managed to remind me of the King Kong movie that
Jack Black was in.
Yeah, that Jack Black was in. Because think about it. Adrian Brody isn't really that far from Tom Hiddleston. Naomi Watts really isn't that far from Brie Larson. It sort of does feel like a sequel, even though I'm pretty sure that's not what they were going for.
Uh-huh.
But it looks pretty cool to me. I'd be willing to check
like
it out.
It's what, Nam? Around the 70s?
No, I think it's going to be modern day.
It looks contemporary.
I don't know.
just felt kind of 70s to me.
Well, I mean, the old Kong movie was in the 70s.
Hey, look, it's that Sam Jackson yelling in it and lecturing people. I'm fucking down with that shit.
It's going to be better than fucking Godzilla at the very least. Surely they're not going to kill Sam Jackson and John Goodman in the first half hour.
That would suck,
well, right?
Well, like, they show you all the shit. Thing, that was the big thing with Godzilla is they had Cranston in it right after Breaking Bad. And it was like, oh, he's awesome. He's going to be in this whole movie. He's in the movie for like, no, none of it. He was in none of the movie.
Like 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, he was in the first half and then they...
Not even the half, dude. Like 20 to 30 fucking minutes.
Even the first half.
They spend all that time setting him up as the main character and then fucking Quicksilver ends up carrying the entire movie.
Ugh. God, that movie was terrible.
It was okay. It wasn't... It just was a huge disappointment because of the lack of Cranston.
Nah, lack of Godzilla, dude. Every time he was about to do something badass, they would close a door, they would turn away.
Yeah, but clearly we're not going to get a lot of Kong and Kong either, so that's going to be an issue.
I think they're saving
the good thing that... Well, the good thing is it's on Skull Island, so there's a bunch of other shit they could show us.
Yeah.
Well, they're building up because after this one, then it's Godzilla versus King Kong is the next one after this.
For
one.
Real?
Yep, they're actually doing it, and that's supposed to be after this one. This is supposed to be Kong.
Motherfucking Godzilla!
Didn't they do two endings on the 70s one where the U.S. audience has got Kong winning and the Japanese audience has got Godzilla winning?
Really?
I thought they did that. I hope they do that again, too.
I think he's trying to flank us.
That'd be cool if they did that.
I hope they do that, yeah. Let's each of us have our guy win. That'd be fun. So, it'd be better than that cop-out ending of Freddy versus Jason. So
Kong's American, then?
Yeah, Kong's American. Fuck yeah.
Empire State Building, homie.
Right. Was that all the trailers? I can't think of
that's
any
it. Is that it? What else was it?
That wasn't quite it. We also talked at length about the new Killing Joke animated film, but it was too long for this episode, and it really wasn't appropriate for a Marvel Superheroes podcast. So you can check that out very soon on our DC special episode in the DC Bloodline stream. We received new Twitter follows from Desaad, Gary Taffy, Light Alive Apparel, Lucas Capasuz, Moviesaurus Rex, New Gods Mother Box, Poop Culture Podcast, Rick Man Crush, Star Wars Tweets, and Vivian Craig. Storm Chaser 2162 commented on Marvel Superheroes Podcast, Episode 47, Strange Beginnings and Endings, 2004.
I'm really glad I never read this book. I'm a fan of a lot of 80s Doctor Strange, and it's disheartening when a character I have fond memories of is deconstructed just because character deconstruction is popular in the industry. Origin considered canon now, or is it simply outside of mainstream continuity?
The truth is, I'm not 100% sure. I don't think it's been directly referenced all that often. It seems to have influenced very heavily the Doctor Strange animated cartoon from a few years ago. It may have influenced the upcoming motion picture. I haven't read a lot of modern Doctor Strange appearances, so I'm really not sure how much current creators have hewed to the Michael Straczynski miniseries. We got retweets from Alan Middleton, Ange, Comic Reflections, Firestorm Fan, Keith G. Baker, and The Randomitable. Storm Chaser wrote of Episode 48, Doctor Strange, Master of Black Magic.
Working my way through the episodes, another great one. I'm a big fan of the early 80s story arc building up to Doc's showdown with Dracula, and also of the backup stories in the late 80s Strange Tales. Haven't been impressed with anything from the 90s or 2000s. Any thoughts on the new series that started last year?
Yeah, he has a battle axe. That's really all I needed to see. That's not Doctor Strange. I have no interest in reading that book. I also, unlike Mr. Fixit, do not have a strong positive reaction to Jason Aaron writing most anything. I did like the Dracula material from both the 70s and 80s, and there was some good material in the 90s. Lynn Kaminsky had a brief run that I enjoyed quite a bit, and J.M. DeMatteis ended out the series, and I thought that one was pretty good. In more recent times, I think Brian Vaughn's The Oath is definitely a highly recommended Doctor Strange miniseries. Check that one out. Twitter favorites from Brandon Mulally of the movie Dodgeball, Cody Andrew Sousa, The Hammer Strikes, Julia Clavian, Little Geek Lost, Lost Heroes Movie, The Park Fanatic Podcast, Randy the Miserable Retail Slave, Ryan Daly, So Wizard Podcast, Son of Cthulhu, Steven Whistler, We Three Geeks Podcast, and Words and Pictures. Jason Martinez wrote of X-Men Apocalypse, another good episode of the Marvel Superheroes Podcast. Storm Chaser wrote of Episode 18, Reintroducing Patsy Walker, 70 years of Marvel's number one Hellcat heroine.
This was a fun episode. I love how the Cat, Tiger, Mockingbird, and even the later Satana episodes tie in, at least tangentially, with Hellcat. I picked up a few random issues of the Defenders back in the day, and I always thought she was interesting. I thought the way she was portrayed in Hellstorm was disrespectful to the character. She had a three-issue mini in the early 2000s following her resurrection, featuring an updated costume. Just realized there is actually a current Hellcat series. Hate the art.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I've definitely orchestrated a lot of those tie-in episodes going back to Patsy Walker. We do have Patsy Walker material coming in the future, including addressing the current series. I just haven't had a chance to get those edited. They're somewhat complex episodes. You'll see what I mean when we get to them. And finally, on episode 51, 20th Century Fox's Deadpool.
Hate the character in the comics. Movie was fun. Funniest line was the break in the sex scene montage. Happy Lent.
Mary Marvel Marching Society, 365 Flicks Podcast, Andrew in Belfast, Angel Velasquez, Bone Dragon Comics, Cash Flag, Chris Sheehan, Coffee and Comics Blog, Dan Glover, Darren and Ruth Sutherland, Dr. G Nerdologist, Eric Mannix, Gold Mind Podcast, Jake and Tom Conquer Podcast, Kevin Daji, Monsters and Mystics, Now That I'm Older Podcast, Odell Abner Dracula, Open All Powers Podcast, Oscar Blue Devil, Randy Caldwell, Richard Field, The Silver and Gold Podcast, Sin at Alias Scarecrow, Trekker Talk Podcast, Warlord Worlds Podcast, Willie at Common Joy Life, and the Xenozoic Xenophiles Podcast.
The Marvel Superheroes Podcast is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended against their copyright holders. The views expressed in this podcast are assumed legitimate, truthful, and solely possessed by the speaker.
Lift your head! You're on the winning team!
Yeah,
that shit always kills me.